I'm so excited about this message. I hope I can get it across, because it's a hard one to get across. I want to read out of the Quran. Have you ever had me read out of the Quran? I don't think I've ever read out of the Quran in the whole time I've preached. Are you ready to get your first Quran lesson? Are you? How many of you have ever read anything in the Quran? Okay, one. Come on. One, two, three, four. Okay, five. Okay. Who else? Listen, we don't mind you reading the Quran. We're not against it. We're not afraid of it. But here's what the Quran says. This is in Surah chapter 2. They have a lot more longer chapters. Verse 217. Surah chapter 2:217. Directly out of the Quran. Whosoever of you turns back from his religion, then he dies while an unbeliever. These it is whose works shall go for nothing in the world, and hereafter they are the inmates of fire, therein they shall abide. Now, I want to share this, and I'm not against anybody that's in this other faith. I'm against the faith because I think it's wrong, but I love them all. I love them all. Some of my best friends in Chicago are Arabs that are of the Islamic faith, and they're not American haters. They love America. They will die for America. But I want to share these people that might be listening or watching today that are thinking about doing a suicide thing, that you're going to blow up people and go to heaven. Friends, I got news for you. You are going to go straight to hell and burn in the fire that they're talking about. No one is going to go to heaven by blowing people up. That philosophy, that religion is wrong. Now, I don't hate you, but it's wrong. And if one person hears this or watches today and says, man, listen, I would go to the Quran and find out where you're supposed to get all those virgin wives. Friends, we can't handle one wife. How could you handle that many wives? Said, well, that's in heaven. In heaven, you couldn't do it either. Every wife has 16 opinions. Honey, I didn't really mean it. That didn't sound right, did it? But it's true. You're not getting them. You're going straight to hell. When they ran into the towers, the twin towers, they were in hell in a nanosecond. If one of them would come back, there would be no one ever, ever killing themselves for Allah again. Just wouldn't do it. Isaiah 58:8, God says, His thoughts are not our thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord, your ways. You see that? But if you really want to freak somebody out, you go somewhere like around Chilai, Ohio, or somewhere in southern Illinois, or somewhere in the mountains of Kentucky, or somewhere in upper state New York, or somewhere in the border towns of Pennsylvania, or even in Washington, D.C., and you say, once saved, always saved, they get fuming. They get fuming. Just terrible. I want you to understand that. What's the difficulty? You know, there's a lot of verses that say you're saved, you can't lose it. Hundreds of them. And there's hundreds of them that say you can lose it unless you understand this basic principle. Now, the Bible never contradicts. The ones that say you can't lose it, there's no other way to interpret it. The ones that say you can lose it, there is a basic flaw in the teaching. There's a huge difference in a believer's position and a believer's walk. You understand that? The believer's position and the believer's walk. Now, you're going to, hopefully with this globe, I'm going to be able to explain that in a little bit. I was sitting with Pastor Paul I said, who put that globe up there? Well, I thought you wanted it. I said, did I tell you? No, sir. I said, relax, I wanted it. I shouldn't do that to him on a Sunday morning. But that's my old nature. Can't get rid of it. The believer's position and the believer's walk. Now, this is from Miles Stanford. And personally, I don't know much about him. So don't, anytime I give a name, don't say, oh, I want to get his book. Don't get anything unless, just because you quote somebody doesn't mean you should go get it. In most cases, a believer is more aware of his condition, or I could put walk, than his position. This is reasons for so much failure and stagnation. Every believer has been positioned forever in the risen Lord by spiritual birth. Now, this is a great thing. You should put this in your mind. You should write this for sure with your notes, and you should have this always before you. This is something. But only the believer who knows grows. Can you all write that down somewhere? Only the believer who knows grows. And that means your nose grows, because we all have noses we wish hadn't have grown. Only those that know grows. Do you get that? See, people get saved and they don't know and they don't grow. Now, could you, just by reading your Bible, could you understand what you could understand by being in a church? And the answer is, of course you could. But you're going to get a lot quicker. But don't ever take what we say unless you can see it in the Bible. Just because a preacher says it doesn't mean it's true. Don't accept what I say because I'm the preacher. You accept it because it's in the Bible. It's the only reason you should accept it. We need to see the big picture. The moment you trust Christ, you are placed in Him. And God now sees you in Christ without sin. Without sin. The moment. That's your position. Now, we hear people say, now listen, there's nothing wrong in saying this, okay? We hear people say, keep looking up. Now, that's okay. That's what we should do. But a better thing to say, now don't go around saying this to people and acting cute. But we need to keep looking down, not looking up. You say, what are you talking about? Looking down. You'll get it in a minute, okay? Just hang in there. I'm not crazy. Well, I am crazy, but I'm not that crazy. Not just to look up, but we need to look down. I hope you get this, okay? It's very important. Now, here's what I want you to get. When Christ died on the cross and you believe in Him, you died. When Christ was placed on the cross and He died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ rose, we rose. You get it? When Christ ascended, we ascended. When Christ sat down at the Father's right hand, you sat down at the Father's right hand. Isn't that good? I mean, we are saved. Now, I used to kid Judy Howe, Dr. Howe, about Judy sharing part of the throne. Being married to Dr. Howe, you can understand that. I used to kid Marilyn and tell Bob Steele that Marilyn's going to share the throne. Because she will share the throne being married to Bob that many years. They have to get up there in heaven. Some of you women are going to be so high in heaven, your husbands will never see you again. Now, it could be vice versa. I've never known it to be, but it could be somewhere. See, when Christ sat at the right hand, you will sit down at the Father's right hand. That's, and we don't have time to look at it. Ephesians 2:6, if you want to look at it. Positionally, every believer is in Christ, okay? Every believer is in Christ. You get it? That's our position. That's our position. Positionally, we cannot sin. Possible to sin. But with our walk, you can and you do sin. What do you see? Now, I'm going to show you a couple illustrations. I don't know if everybody can see this globe. Some of you over here, you just have to go by. Okay, you can see it. Look up there and see it. This globe. Now, when we fly an airplane, right? Most of you have flown an airplane. Who has not flown in an airplane? Anybody? It's okay. Don't get embarrassed. It's fine. There's some people who won't get in the plane. You know, Pastor Dan Green, who preached here a couple weeks ago, he will not fly in a plane. I said, are you scared? He said, I don't know if I'm scared, but I'm not flying in a plane. And he won't fly in a plane. So anytime he comes, that's why I was so honored to have him. He was such a, he's such a blessing to my life. He's got a big church. Really big. Not as big as this, but it's a big church. He's a good man of God. But he won't fly. But when you do fly, and you know, if you were in a satellite, if you were in the space station, you could see the whole U.S. and Canada and Mexico in one sighting. And you look down and you see, how could there be so many problems down here? Just can't. When one of our great missionaries that's in the Philippines, Matt Wolf, and we were in our Cirrus plane, the church has a plane that holds four people. You know, it's not one of those $18 million jets that some preachers have. No, it's a Cirrus. It gets great gas mileage. We can sometimes go as cheap as a station wagon or a SUV can drive. It's very economical, and we have a parachute for the whole plane. It's very safe. And my son, and also Pastor David, wherever he is down there somewhere, our pilots. Pastor David's going to fly me to Texas. Dr. Ball has asked us to come and speak at Robert Summers' big Bible study on Tuesday night. And it's a big Bible study. Robert Summers got to be the greatest man on the earth that does all these bronze statues. That was a great artist. He did the Stampede of Dallas. Anytime you see a picture of Dallas, they always show the Stampede. He did all the John Wayne commissioning. And I'll be at his house. His wife's been on trips with us. Robert Summers. I don't know how he does it, but in his mind, he can see these things and he can make likenesses. It has to be a gift of God. But when you're in that plane, and I was with Matt Wolf, and we were coming back from Southern Illinois at night, and I said, Matt, what do you see when you look out that window? And Matt said, well, I see houses. I see lights. If you look hard enough, you can see a few cars. I said, no, Matt, that's not what you see. What do you see? Well, I don't know. I just see lights. I said, Matt Wolf, what do you see? And then he looked at me. He says, souls. Souls. See, when you look down, what do you see? We used to go up on the John Hancock. We had a guy that worked there, and he'd give us free tickets. I think it's real expensive now. Isn't that like $20? Something like, isn't it? Man, it's so high. I was going to take my grandkids up, and I said, how much? And I think they said $100-some. I said, forget it. They'd stay on the ground. I said, just get me one ticket. I'll tell them about it. No, I'm not that cheap. I'm not as cheap as, let's say, Dr. Mike Floyd. He's cheap. You know, Weight Watchers has a thing, and you can look and see how many points something is. Well, he found one that you can get for $2.98, one-time purchase, $2.98. I'm not $200.98. And he's sharing it. They only got one. Now, that's cheap. I said, Mike, you could have got two. Maybe you're not with Trina. Well, if I'm not, I'll call her. That's cheap. Pastor Paul's kind of been known to be that way. Really cheap. One time he finally took Molly out, and that's when the Burger King got down to $2.95 for two sandwiches. But when you look from a distance, you don't see sin, do you? Our position in Christ is looking down. And our position is we cannot sin. That's our position. Now, the earth's gorgeous, but there's more sins and more gossips, more people just talking, saying things they don't know what they're even saying, running people down. Our president, God bless him, I was against him. You know I was against him. But when he got the nomination, listen, friends, between him and Hillary, are you kidding me? She believes in killing every baby that's ever conceived. Late-term abortion, she actually said she was for it. Chopping up a baby. Can you imagine that? You say, well, it's a woman's right. No. How about the baby's right? Now, I know. You're not supposed to get political, and that's not politics. That's saving lives. We have rights to take stands. But you get down in this world, man, it gets nasty. It gets nasty. But if you look at the world from a distance, see, we're in our position, but we also have our walk. Our position is in Christ, and it cannot sin. Our walk is with our fellow man, and it not only can sin, it does sin. And every one of us can sin. Do you see that? There's not a one of us that can't sin. You know, when they had the kids dedicate their lives, I was so emotional. I was into it. You know, I'd been to so many camps. They were singing Near the Cross, but they only did two verses. They didn't get emotional. Pastor Mark, who did a fabulous job, just a fabulous job, he just said, this is the decision you make with your mind, not your emotions. And 30 kids went. I couldn't even tell who went, but 30 kids went. And I remember those many, many camps I've been through. I remember those camps because my wife and I would want to, about the middle of a camp, we would go away. And I can't even imagine this, but there was a restaurant and I'd get two Diet Cokes. I was so dehydrated. Now, two Diet Cokes now wouldn't hydrate me at all. But back then, two Diet Cokes would hydrate me. And we'd go, and I'd say, I want two Diet Cokes. And she'd say, well, whatever she wanted, I don't know. I think I gave her half of one Diet Coke. I'm not as cheap as the rest of them. Here's a water for you, Molly. And we wanted to quit camp. And I'd say, Linda, this is our last camp. I cannot do this again. And I'd get back, how was your vacation? Oh, man, you want to get yourself half killed? Just don't do that. Just remember, Illinois has concealed and carry now. Keep that in mind. And you'd be so tired. And then we get to dedication night. And we'd hear those kids, and we'd say, man, we can't wait till next year. And we'd do it next year. We'd start planning next year on the way back. Because the results were so incredible. So incredible. And finally, when Matt Wolf saw that the souls, he accepted that. And he became one of the greatest missionaries this church has ever had. He's learned the language. He can preach in two languages now. And when he goes to heaven. Now listen, I don't care what you say. Well, I want my son to become a great whatever. When we go to heaven, very few of your sons are going to be greater than Matt Wolf. You understand what I'm saying? Very few. Now you could, and you could win and do everything for Christ and use your position, but most don't. Very few. But he decided. Your standing is in Christ, but your walk is in a messed up world. Our salvation comes in three tenses. Past, present, and future. Past is justification and salvation. Present is our sanctification and walk. Service is optional. God doesn't make us serve, but we should. Our future is glorification. We're going to be glorified. Sometimes people say, how are you doing, Pastor? And I say, you know, I couldn't be any better if I was glorified in heaven. I am doing well. How's your heart? My heart is so good, I've really wondered if I had quintuple bypass surgery, but I did. I feel good. I feel too good. Sometimes I say, Lord, why do I feel so good? I do. I'm serious. I might die tomorrow, but I'm telling you the truth today. I don't even care. I'm not afraid to die. And you shouldn't be either. We got Christ. See, our sanctification, our walk is progressive. It takes time. Today, before I came out with the choir, I prayed, oh God, please fill me with thy spirit. I've asked God hundreds of times to fill me with his spirit. Oh God, when I preach to the group, to the congregation, fill me with thy spirit. And I think he does. Nothing like preaching. When God is on top and you feel like you're on the crest of a wave, there's no joy, I guarantee you. You know, sometimes people jump out of airplanes, and I'm not against you doing that. Let me choose the ones to do it, and I'll pack your bags for you. Your chute. Our sanctification imparts righteousness. Our justification imputes righteousness. Justification happens outside the believer. Sanctification happens inside the believer. Justification is a one-time event. Sanctification is thousands of times. Justification involves salvation from sin's penalty. Justification changes the believer's destiny. Sanctification changes a believer's present life. Justification results in having peace with God. Sanctification results in having the peace of God. See, some of you have never got to that point. Some of you have got saved, and you're as much in Christ in heaven as the most sanctified person here. Now, sanctification takes many, many steps in many, many ways. Oh, God, help me. God, I blew it yesterday. Can you forgive me and help me? Oh, God. See, God knows our minds. Isn't that terrible? Someone said, what would two things? One thing, I wish God didn't know my mind. Secondly, I wish I knew God's mind and it was in me all the time. But it's not. We're living in the nasty here and now. We will be in the sweet by and by. But right now, we're in the nasty here and now. I wish we weren't. I really do wish we weren't. Our sanctification, our walk, it's all by God's grace through faith. There would always be somebody when we built this building, and we built all of this building, and we did everything that you see, putting the trusses, putting the roof, putting the clouds. We did it all, doing the balcony. But Mr. Harriman in charge of doing the balcony. I said, Scott, I had 3 weeks down. He did that whole thing in 1 week. There's nothing like a bunch of dedicated Christians that are dedicated to Christ. But I'd go out and say, you know, God helped us build this building. And I'd go out, and there's always this pious person's never done anything for Christ. He said, Pastor, God didn't help build this building. God built this building. I say, well, God could have built this building, but he didn't build this building. Remember that time I told you I was with my granddaughter Amy, and she wasn't more than 18. I mean, 4 to 5 years old. And she says, Papa, when we get home from camp, the church building will already be built. I wish that were true. I wish that were true. We had our permit. We had our ready to go. And then Hawthorne Woods came back and said, you're 10 feet too high. You're 10 feet too high. So we had to disconnect from the village. It was hard. But then we had to build. And then they didn't send us our metal building. This is a metal building, even though it doesn't look like it. It's a solid built metal building. And it didn't come till November. Pastor Dan's going through the same thing. Oh, I tell you. You know, we've been praying for $18 million. This church gets $18 million. Oh, can you see the vision? Be on a couple national channels. See, we've got all the infrastructure already. We've got it already. All we've got to do is get some money and the souls that will get saved. How do you go to your first trip to Africa and the last conference have 300 pastors and evangelists and church workers? That just blows my mind. They probably reached about, I don't know, I don't want to say numbers because I don't really know. Do you see it? But so many preachers, see what they do, they give you a spiritual smoothie. Do you know what I'm saying about a smoothie? They give you a spiritual smoothie. And they take the passages about discipleship, the passages about salvation, and they put them all in one smoothie and spoon it out to you. You're so confused. Those preachers over in Africa, they were so confused. And when my son and Dr. Stringer gave the gospel, he said you could see the light coming on. You know what I mean, those of you that witness very much, and there's a light that comes on. I get it. It's all by God's grace. I get it. Do you get it? I hope so. See, we don't give away smoothies. We separated. This is talking about works for discipleship. This is talking about salvation that has no works. Aren't you glad of that? And we're able to do that all over the world. Can you imagine with evangelism made simple, someone having that book, what that would do? Isn't that exciting? Man, I'll tell you what. I was hardly, you know, I got a call from Pastor Jim yesterday, and I was going nuts. You know what he said, Dad? This has to be quick. This call's costing 50 cents a minute. This is a multi-million dollar operation here. And he's worried about a call costing 50 cents a minute. Aren't you glad he's like that? He said, Dad, you got 10 minutes max. I'm only going to spend $5. That made me happy. It didn't make me sad. Because if we watch the phone bills, we'll watch every other bill. I remember that first phone call I made from Israel. I had left my two children with Mimi, my mother-in-law. And I had to see if they're still surviving. She would check their toothbrush, see if it had been wet. Now, if you all do that, if you're the parents, that's okay. But if you're the grandparents, don't do that. I mean, all the kids do, they learn to make it wet. Just take it down the toilet. Hoping that she'll use it. I shouldn't have said that. But see, there's all kinds of carnal believers. Lot? How about the Corinthian Christians? But they were still Christians. But when they died, there's not one Corinthian Christian that was carnal that'll be happy they were carnal. I had a guy that used to be in this church, and he said, yeah, we shouldn't have gone to that film, that terrible film. Back then it was X-rated. I know we shouldn't have gone, but I'm glad I did because it taught me some things. No, friends, you're not glad you did. Listen, with TV today, glorification of being gay. They never glorified heterosexuals like this. Now, I don't care. I don't care. But when I see two men kissing, it makes me sick. You say, whatever. I don't care what you say. Hey, we're Americans. We have a right to do that. I don't want to beat them up. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to not love them. If they're here, I want them to get saved. But the lifestyle is hurting yourself more than it's hurting me. But it still makes me sick. Now, I can't help it. I don't know. I'm sorry. Oh, if you like that, oh, don't even say it. If you have to clean yourself up to be saved, you'll never be saved. If you have to keep yourself clean to be saved, you can't be saved. There's a big difference in our position and our walk. Now, there's a lot of verses I have not read. I want you to read them when you get home. I just don't have the time to read them. I wish I did. Remember this, our position, looking down, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, cannot sin. But our daily walk on this old world can do nothing but sin. You see that? Do you like gloves? I have one, always had one. This was in my office. Look at the world, man. We're just reaching nothing of it. Oh, I'm glad what we're doing in the Philippines, what we're doing in India, what we're doing in Thailand. I'm so happy. I really am happy. Pastor Mark and Courtney are going back to China soon, this end of this week. Do you see the mission? Do you see? Listen, you all could go out. Take some of those heaven tracks or whatever tracks. We got all kinds that we've written and go out and use them. It's not hard. It's just not hard to do it. If you go out there and you just kind of start talking to people and kidding with them a little bit and then give them a track. I use elevators. You got to be careful how you do this. I get on it going up or down. Well, we're going up. Well, I'm glad to hear that because you don't want your last trip to be down. And then give them a track. Man, they'll take that thing. Get on there. Is this the elevator that cracked up last week and went straight down? Boy, they'll listen the whole way down. No, don't do that. Anyway, there's a lot of verses I want you to read. I think are important for you to read. When a believer sins, it doesn't take him out of the family of God. But failing to confess your sins brings God's chastening. But he only chastens his kids. He does not chasten the unsaved. Hebrews 12, 5 through 7. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chasteneth not? See, you don't get to live as you please. God will chasten you. But no matter how you live, you cannot lose your position. But if your walk is not the right walk on this earth, he can chasten you. And I mean really chasing you. Well, I hope you're getting this. We're going to end. I'm going to share this. Now, you've seen it shared. You say, why do y'all just do, don't you know any? Well, there are other ways. Sometimes we use other ways. But this is such a clear way. This billfold represents sin. Have any of you have never sinned? Well, of course, we've all sinned. This hand right here represents Christ and or represents you and me. And he says, I love you, but I hate your sin. He loves us, but hates our sin. How many sins would he let us take to heaven? None. Not even one. Oh, good, Pastor. You bring us out to church. This is my first time to church. And you tell me you can't take one sin to heaven. And you tell me that everybody has sins. Well, that is all true. But here's the good news. This hand represents Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he, God, hath made him Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him." Isn't that good? Let's look at Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There'll be no boasters in heaven. I deserve this. Man, wouldn't you hate to be in heaven? Just somebody that is boasting. Someone that just acts like they know it all. Oh, no. It's going to be filled with people with gracious eyes. It's going to be the most gracious place you've ever been. God said, look, you can't take sin to heaven. So here's Christ who never sinned. He took our sin, paid our sin, shed his blood on the cross. He died. He buried on the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, rose again, showing that the sin payment had been accepted. He took his blood up to the throne. "Touch me not, I have not yet ascended." Takes his blood to the throne. And one drop of Emmanuel's blood is enough to pay the sins of billions of people. One drop. And no matter how much you're into this world and how bad things are and how some of you are suffering, like I couldn't even imagine how some of you are suffering. Don't look up. Look down. And when you look down, you're going to see something that you can't see looking up. You're going to see how petty your little problems really are. Friends, do you want to go to heaven? I tell you what, when I found out I could be sure I was going to heaven, man, I was the happiest man on earth. I really was.